Please turn in your Bible again to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. This evening at the close of our service, I want to preach on the subject, the hatred of the Sadducees towards the apostles, or the spirit of conflict. And I want to base my remarks on Acts chapter 5 and verse 17. Of the portion of scripture that we read together. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. Were filled with indignation. Let's bow in prayer, and let's seek the Lord just before we come to consider the message tonight. And let's pray that the Lord will come and speak to all of our hearts, and especially those in the meeting who are not saved. Pray that the Lord will speak to their hearts especially. Father in heaven, we again thank thee for thy word that is before us just now. We thank thee, Lord, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. We believe it. And we pray it tonight, Lord, as we turn to this text of scripture, to this subject, Lord, that you would fill us with the Holy Spirit and help us, Lord, only to say those things that will be pleasing to thee. We pray that you'll bless the message to all of our hearts, but especially to those in the meeting who are not saved. We pray, Lord, that you would reveal unto them their great need of God's eternal salvation. Even this night, Lord, that they will seek the Lord and find redemption through the blood of the Lamb. O God, we need thee to come, and we need thee to work. We freely confess this. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we might know the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And, O God, that everything that we might say would glorify and uplift the Lord Jesus. Hear our prayer this night, and bless us again in the preaching of thy word. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Tonight, as we take up our studies again in the book of Acts, I want to draw your attention to the latter part of Acts chapter 5. From verse 17 to the end of the chapter, we have three different spirits introduced to us. And over these next weeks, we're going to be considering these three different spirits. From verses 17 to 28, we have the spirit of conflict, and we're going to consider that spirit tonight. Then from verses 29 and 30 to 41 to 42, we have the spirit of courage. And next Sunday morning, we'll consider that spirit. And then from verses 34 to 40, we have the spirit of compromise. And God willing, next Sunday evening, we will consider that spirit. But this evening, I want to deal with the first of these three points, that of the spirit of conflict. Here again in the book of Acts, the apostles come under attack from the religious establishment. Now, we have seen this already in our studies in the book of Acts. But here, at the latter part of Acts chapter 5, we see this taking place again. This time, the attack comes from the religious sect known as the Sadducees. The Sadducees were a group of religious leaders who did not believe in the resurrection of the dead, nor did they believe in the existence of angels. The Bible tells us here in Acts chapter 5, verse 17, that these Sadducees were filled, underline the words in the text, they were filled with indignation against the apostles. Indeed, their hatred towards God's servants in this portion of Scripture can be seen clearly in a number of ways. And tonight, very simply, I want to set before you the reasons why these Sadducees hated the apostles so much, and why this spirit of conflict was brought about in their hearts. And I pray that God will take his word and write it upon all of our souls this evening. I believe that there's a message here for us all, both saint and sinner alike. And I pray as we open up the word of God and consider this subject tonight, that the Lord will speak to all of our souls. But especially if you're in the meeting and you're not saved, you're not a Christian, my prayer is that the Lord will take the word of God tonight and speak to you particularly. Because your greatest need tonight is to come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. And here this evening, I believe there's a message, a very clear message for you. But first of all, I want you to notice, first of all, that the Sadducees hated the message of the apostles. The Sadducees hated the message that the apostles preached because it went against everything that they believed. Indeed, the message that the apostles preached condemned the Sadducees for putting Christ to death upon the cross. The Sadducees hated Christ, therefore, and they hated the message of Christ. Thus, they hated those who preached the message of Christ. Here's the first reason why there was this spirit of conflict in the heart of the Sadducees against the apostles. They hated the message that the apostles preached and declared. What was the substance of the apostles' message? Well, we're all familiar with the substance, and we have it here set forth again in this portion of Scripture. You'll notice that the apostles in their message declared that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, the only Savior of men. Look at verse 31. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a Savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And of course, this was the message that the apostles declared. Every time they got up to preach, this was the message that they had delivered, that the Lord Jesus Christ was the Savior, he was the only Savior, he was the Son of God, and he was the only one who could forgive the sins of men, because he died and he rose again, and because Christ lived, praise God, all who believed in him would have everlasting life. Indeed, if you take a look at verse 30, you will see that the apostles in their message declared that Jesus Christ not only had died, but he had risen again. Because it says in verse 30, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus. And of course, this was a message that the Sadducees did not believe. And only after stating there that they did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. And that's what they believe, and that's what they taught. So the apostles were preaching a message that the Sadducees had no time for. And because they had no time for this message, they hated the apostles for preaching it. But of course, there was another reason why they hated the message that the apostles preached, because the apostles in their message declared that the Sadducees, along with the rest of the religious establishment, had put Christ to death unjustly. In other words, they condemned the Sadducees for their sin. Look at the end of verse 30. Here the apostles said, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. There we have the apostles, as they declared the message of the gospel, they pointed out to the Sadducees their sin. Men and women, this is the message that we must preach today. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the only Savior of the world. Christ has died and he has risen again. He is alive forevermore. And the truth is that men and women are sinners, and they must repent and believe on Christ as their Savior and as their Lord. I wonder this evening, could I just stop there for a moment? And could I ask you a very simple question? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you believe that he is the Savior, the only Savior of sinners? Do you believe that he has died upon a cross? Do you believe that he has risen again? Do you believe that there is resurrection after death? Do you believe that Jesus Christ has risen again? And do you believe that he ever lives in heaven to make intercession for his people? You see, this is what the Bible teaches, and this is what the Word of God declares. And this is what you and I must believe if we're ever going to be saved for time and for eternity. But it was a message that the Sadducees did not believe. They would not accept that Jesus Christ was the Savior and that he had risen again and that he was the Son of God. And yet, The apostles declared, neither is there salvation in any other, speaking of Christ, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Indeed, the message of the apostles was clear. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. The Sadducees did not believe this. In Luke chapter 20, verse 27, we read these words about the Sadducees. Then came to him certain of the Sadducees, which deny that there is any resurrection. And in Acts 23, verse 8, we read these words about the Sadducees. For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. You see, that was the difference between the religious sect known as the Sadducees and the religious sect known as the Pharisees. The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. They did not believe in angels. They did not believe in spirits. They did not believe that there was life after death. The Pharisees, of course, did believe these things. Men and women, the Sadducees were wrong and they were unscriptural. There is life after death. Angels do exist, so do spirits. And the resurrection is a fact that is clearly taught in the Word of God. I wonder tonight, as you're gathered here in God's house, do you believe these truths? These simple gospel truths that the Bible sets forth? You believe that there's life after death? Do you believe that you will exist beyond the grave? Because the Word of God tells us clearly that you and I have a soul, an immortal soul, that will exist for all eternity. The body may die and be put into the grave, but the soul will live on. And there is, and there will be, the resurrection of the body. Even the body, your body and my body, that someday will be put in Mother Earth. The Bible tells us clearly that the day will come when the dead will rise and be reunited with their soul. And that's why it is imperative, if you're found in this meeting tonight without Christ, that you consider these solemn truths, that you consider these biblical truths, and realize that death is not the end. And that's why it is a necessity for you and for me to prepare for these events, and especially death and the grave, that our souls are ready for heaven and for home. Turn over with me just for a moment to Revelation chapter 20. It's a familiar passage of Scripture, I'm sure, to most. But maybe if you're in the meeting tonight and you're not saved, it's not a familiar passage of Scripture to you. Here we read about God's day of judgment. And of course, this great white throne judgment that will be set up after this world is no more, you will be there. And look what it says here. And I want you to think of these words as we read them. Revelation 20, verse 12 and 13. It says this, "And I saw the dead, small and great." So here, John is receiving a revelation from the Lord. And he's receiving this revelation from heaven. And in this revelation, he sees the dead, small and great. And what are they doing? Well, look what it says. Stand before God. Here, John has this vision of future events, this day of judgment. And as he views this day of judgment, this day that will come to pass, whether men on this earth believe it or not, the dead will stand before God. They'll be resurrected. And the books will be opened. And another book will be opened, which is the book of life. And the dead will be judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. And the sea will give up the dead which were in it. And death and hell will deliver up the dead which are in them. And they will be judged, every man, according to their works. My friend, what a solemn portion of Scripture that is. But that portion of Scripture is teaching clearly that what the Sadducees believed was wrong. They didn't believe in the resurrection. But this text of Scripture is revealing that there will be a resurrection. They don't believe in life after death. But this text of Scripture is revealing that there is life after death. There is a judgment to come. There is a day of reckoning. And that's why it is imperative for you tonight to be saved by God's grace and to be redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb, although the message that the apostles were declaring smote the Sadducees to their very heart, still the message was true and had to be preached. And you know, it has to be preached today. Many in our land do not believe what the Bible says. They do not believe that there's life after death. They do not believe in heaven. They do not believe in hell. They do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They do not believe that he rose again the third day. They do not believe that he's coming back again. They just believe that once you die, you stop existing and that's the end. But the Sadducees were wrong. And those who believe such nonsense today are wrong, because the Word of God clearly teaches that these things are facts. My friend, that's why this evening, if you're found in this meeting, you need to prepare to meet God. And you need to have your sins forgiven. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And that's why tonight I would exhort you to seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Make your peace with God. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. There are many today who hate the preaching of the gospel, just like the Sadducees hated the preaching of Christ in the days of the apostles. But you know, whether men will hear or whether men will forbear, the truth is this, that the message of the gospel must still go forth because it is the truth of God. And although men hate the message of the gospel and don't want to hear the message of the gospel and hate the preacher because he preaches the message of saving grace, it is the preacher's responsibility to preach Christ and him crucified, to preach Christ and him resurrected, to preach Christ and him glorified, because the Word of God clearly sets forth these wonderful and glorious truths. But you can see here one of the reasons why the Sadducees hated the apostles. They hated the message that the apostles preached because it went against everything that they believed and everything that they had taught. But notice something else here. I want you to notice, secondly, that the Sadducees hated the apostles because not only of the message that they preached, but because of the influence of the apostles. The influence that the apostles had on the people can be seen from verses 12 to 16. Now, we're not going to read all the verses there, but you take the time to read them when you go home. But in verse 17, we read these words, and I want you to underline these words. It says, then, and then at the end of the verse it says, they were filled with indignation. But I want you to underline the little word, then. It was not until then that the Sadducees' hearts were filled with indignation. You know, what great influence the apostles had. Influence for good, influence for righteousness. When the Sadducees saw the influence that the apostles had on the people, it was then that the Sadducees realized that this message was spreading, and they hated the apostles because of this influence that they were having in Jerusalem at this time. Look what they said to the apostles in verse 28. Did not we strictly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, underline these words. Here's the influence of the apostles. When they were filled with the Holy Ghost and preached the Word of God, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. The word indignation in verse 17 derives from another word which carries the thought of boiling over with heat. That's what the word, where the word derives from. In the Bible, the word is used as a holy zeal or an evil rage. It can be used in both ways, depending on the context. And in Acts 5, verse 17, of course, it is being used as an evil rage. The Sadducees had an evil rage against the message that the apostles were preaching, and because of the influence that the apostles were having upon the people, The Sadducees' hearts were full of hatred towards them. This message, you see, was turning the world upside down and filling Jerusalem with the doctrine. And of course, as we read through the book of Acts, the message spread further afield when Saul of Tarsus was saved and when God called Paul then to be the missionary and he went on his three missionary journeys. How far this message and this gospel was spread to the far-flung corners of the known world at that time. And the Sadducees did not like it. And when they saw the influence that the apostles had on the people, the Sadducees hated them. They hated them. Child of God, here's a message, a word in season for you and I. We will be hated because we serve Christ. We will be hated because we preach the message of the gospel. And especially if the Lord uses us to influence others to be saved, influences others to turn from their sin, the world will hate us. The devil will hate us. When righteousness is being established in any community or any country, the devil will be mad. Satan hates a godly influence in any community, in any family, in any country. And the devil will do all in his power to hinder that godly influence, and he will seek to reverse it, even if that means seeking to destroy those who preach it. And of course, that's what the Sadducees really wanted to do here. When they heard the message, and when they saw the influence of the apostles as they preached that message upon the people and upon Jerusalem, all they wanted to do was to stop the apostles from declaring the unsearchable riches of Christ. Then I wonder that Peter said to the saints, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." In Acts chapter 5, the devil is using the Sadducees to seek to hinder the influence of the gospel going forth. Of course, it didn't work. But you can see what Satan is seeking to do here. And child of God, as we seek to preach the message of the gospel, there will be those who will hate us for it. And as they see the message of the gospel spreading in communities and in families and in countries, then by the devil, he'll be even madder. But praise God, you and I must always remember that we must obey God rather than men. And there are many in this world tonight, and they're imprisoned simply because they preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. For no other reason. Because the devil wants to stop the spread of the gospel. And many a poor child of God is being persecuted tonight. Imprisoned tonight. Because they are faithful to the word of Christ. And they're faithful to the word of God. Oh, how we need to pray for such. That the Lord will come in mighty power and deliver them from the snare of the devil. Deliver them from the power of evil. But notice something else here. Take a look again at verse 28 of Acts chapter 5. And you'll notice, thirdly, that the Sadducees hated the apostles, not only because of the message they preached, not only because of the influence of the apostles and the spread of the gospel, but I want you to notice, thirdly, because of the boldness of the apostles. These men in Acts chapter 5, they were bold for Christ. And this boldness, the Pharisees hated it. Look what it says again in verse 28. "Did not we strictly command you that ye should not teach in this name?" The apostles, of course, disobeyed the Jewish authorities. They disobeyed the religious establishment. They disobeyed the Sadducees. When they were commanded to stop preaching in the name of the Lord Jesus, they continued. And they continued because God gave them boldness and God gave them strength and God gave them help, of course. But this boldness that the apostles had was hated by the Sadducees. Child of God, surely there's a lesson here for you and me. And it's this: when the laws of men come into direct conflict with the commands of God, the disciples of Christ must obey the commands of God. And especially when it comes to preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is what the disciples did. Here, they again are forbidden to preach in the name of Christ. Here again, they are forbidden to preach that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They're forbidden to preach about the resurrection. They're forbidden to preach about how men needed their sins forgiven. And yet, they went straight out of the council and with great boldness and with great authority, because the Holy Ghost had infilled them, God was with them. They continued to declare the word of Christ to all who would hear it. You know, this took great boldness. You know, this was a characteristic of God's servants in the book of Acts. And I just want you to turn over just for a moment to Acts chapter 4. We've already considered this text, but take a look at it again, and you'll see this great boldness that the apostles had in the midst of persecution and the midst of great affliction. Verse 18, "And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." My, what boldness. Look what it says at the end of chapter 5 and verse 42. After the Sadducees told them not to preach any more in the name of Christ, it says, "And daily in the temple." They went from the council, they went from the prison, right to the temple, daily in the temple, and in every house, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. My, is it any wonder that the Sadducees were filled with indignation because of the boldness of the apostles? Oh, child of God, is it not true to say that you and I need today a holy boldness to stand up for Christ and preach the message of the gospel? Before the Lord comes again, I believe there will be great persecution of the church of Jesus Christ. Christ himself, before he ascended back up into heaven, he warned of this persecution. Just turn over for a moment, very quickly, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24. And of course, the Lord here is coming to the end of his ministry. Very soon, he would die upon the cross. Very soon, his body would be placed in the tomb. Very soon, he would be resurrected. Very soon, he would go home to glory. But this is what he said near the end of his ministry. And he said this to his disciples, to his apostles. He said this in verse 21. Look at Matthew 24. "For then shall be great tribulation." In other words, a time of great suffering. That's what the word tribulation means. A time of great suffering, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Who's the elect? The elect. That's you and me. Prior to the second coming of Christ, there's going to be great tribulation, a time of great suffering for the church of Jesus Christ, a time when the elect will be persecuted because of their stand for Christ and because they preach Christ and because they want to spread the message of the gospel. Look at verse 23. "Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." There's going to be times of trouble, times of distress, times of persecution, times of tribulation for the church prior to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But praise God, I believe that in those days the Lord will give his servants grace to preach and to continue to preach the message of the gospel right until the Lord Jesus Christ comes back again. Indeed, the Lord Jesus promised that he would give his servants help to continue to serve him right to the very end of this world. Indeed, he gave this promise before he left this scene of time. Because in Matthew 28, he says there in verse 19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo," here's the promise, "I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Or if you like, that literally means even unto the end of the age. Oh, praise God. You and I, child of God, have this wonderful promise of our Savior that he will give us this boldness, even in the midst of trial and tribulation. And that's the boldness that the disciples had, the apostles had, in Acts chapter 5. And the Sadducees hated them for it. They hated them for it. But they continued. They continued to serve the Lord with all their heart. What happened to the apostles because of this boldness? Well, take a look at verse 18. First of all, and you'll see that they were imprisoned for their faith. It says in verse 18 of Acts 5, it says, "And they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison." Of course, when you read on down the chapter, the Lord delivered them out of the prison, and what a unique deliverance it was. Look at verse 19. "But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth." Now, one would have thought at that point that the disciples, the apostles, they would have ran away. They would have gone and hid themselves. They would have sought escape. But that's not what happened. The Bible tells us they went to the temple and they started to preach. What boldness they had. Oh, my friend, what is the lesson here, child of God, for you and I? It's a simple lesson, and it's this. God will keep us alive until our work for him is done. Nothing can stop God's work being done. That's what we can see here in Acts chapter 5. Nothing or no one can prevent God's word from advancing. Look at verse 20 and 21. After the angel delivered them out of the prison, the angel had this message for them: "Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and they taught. And they taught. What great boldness. Oh, child of God, let's pray for a holy boldness like that in these days. We're living in evil times. And you know, we look around us in our own wee country here and we despair at times. We see sin abounding on every hand. Well, there's none of us in prison yet. They haven't locked us up yet. And we should not be cowed. You and I should not be afraid of the world. And we should not be afraid of the hounds of hell. Because the Lord has given us a message. What a glorious message it is. The message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is the message we must preach in these days, whether men will listen or not. And that's the command that the Savior would give us today. Notice that the Sadducees still would not believe, although a great miracle had taken place. I find this amazing here. Although the Lord miraculously delivered the apostles out of the prison, without anyone knowing about it initially, they still wouldn't believe. They still wouldn't accept the message of the gospel. Look at verse 22. "But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, 'The prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keeper standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within.' Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they had doubted of them whereunto this would grow." They still wouldn't believe. They still wouldn't accept what the apostles were teaching. Is there someone here tonight as we close? And you have heard the gospel. And you've heard the message of saving grace. And you've been taught the Bible right from your earliest days. And still you're found in God's house this evening. And you're like the Sadducees. And you're like the religious establishment in the days of the apostles. You still will not believe and accept that Jesus Christ is the Savior. Saviour. You will still not come and bow the knee by faith at the cross and trust him alone as your own and personal Redeemer. You still have a resistance to the message of the gospel. You're still saying no to God's free offer of redemption. Oh, my friend, you're just like the Sadducees. You're just like the Sadducees. You won't believe the truth. Now, you may not show hostility like the Sadducees showed towards the apostles. You may not show your hatred towards the message, towards the influence, towards the boldness of the apostles. You may not show that animosity against the truth, but quietly in your heart, you're saying, no, I will not have this man, Jesus Christ, to rule over me. Oh, my friend, what a fool you are. What a fool you are. Because the Word of God declares to us today, tonight, this evening, that the Lord Jesus is willing to save you and he's willing to deliver you from your sin. He's willing to give you everlasting life. But in order for you to be saved and prepare for heaven, you must believe. You must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And you must accept him into your heart and life as your Savior. The Bible says, for as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You've got to not only believe on him, but you've got to confess him before men. If thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, and confess with thy mouth, thou shalt be saved. Will you believe tonight in your heart? Will you accept him as your Savior? And then will you go out of this place this evening and confess to your family and to your friends and to your neighbors that Jesus Christ is your Savior? Oh, friend, come tonight. Don't be like the Sadducees. The Sadducees rejected and they ended up in a lost eternity. They wouldn't believe the message. They hated the apostles. Oh, this spirit of conflict against the apostles. They hated the message. They hated the influence that the apostles had in the world and in Jerusalem. They hated the boldness. Their boldness. God had given them that boldness so that they could go forth and declare the message of the gospel in spite of the persecution at that time. Would you come tonight and trust him? Child of God, let's pray for a holy boldness. Let's pray that the Lord will come. And no matter what is happening in this land of ours, that we'll not be cowed, but that we will always continually preach Christ and him crucified.